Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. I'm back live in the studio today here on the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. Had a nice week of vacation with the family last week. Got an accidental buzz cut, and now I'm back today. So today we're going to talk about a really important subject regarding God's work. And to introduce that, I'll just give you a quote from Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury. He wrote this in the Royal Vision of May-June 1998. Our primary focus in life must be on how we talk to God in prayer. That is our number one priority. That is how we grow in God's royal family. Now, if we had to honestly assess our priorities from day to day, as we fall into the rush of everyday life with all of our responsibilities, probably sometimes we understand that our priorities are not in line with this. Mr. Armstrong, the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong, also talked about nothing in this life being more important than prayer. But how easy it can be to let that slip. It's certainly not natural or easy to pray. There are a lot of challenges that come from that. And yet, there is nothing more important. There is nothing that can make our lives better than prayer. More than prayer, I should say. So why is it so difficult? Why is it something that we have to really struggle with a lot of the time? Well, probably much of that just comes from the fact that it can seem intimidating to put together an entire half hour of just speaking to God in total silence, or ramping it up to an hour of prayer. That's not easy. And I know that women in general like to talk a lot more than men, but even women struggle with prayer. Can you believe that? It doesn't come naturally to any of us, even if naturally we should be more inclined to talk. It is complicated. It can be a real challenge sometimes. Well, thankfully, God does show us how to pray. We have an entire book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled How to Pray. We also have a free reprint article there titled The 30 Plus Program. I dug into this program a couple weeks ago, and I can tell you it really did revitalize my prayers. In this article, Mr. Stephen Fleury gets specific about how to fill a minimum of 30 minutes in prayer. He says here to spend the first 3 minutes hallowing God's name. So you address God the Father in your prayers, and you start out by praising him for all that he has done, for all that he is. Then you go into 5 minutes confessing your sins and faults. Then 5 minutes thanking God for your many blessings. And then 10 minutes praying for the work. Then you conclude with 5 minutes praying for God's people, and then another 2 minutes praising God again. And then you conclude in the name of Jesus Christ and say, Amen. But that fourth spot there, 10 minutes praying for the work. This is the single longest section of the 30 plus program. And once you have prayed for all of these other things, once you have put the focus on God and the work and other people, the time beyond those 30 minutes can be spent praying about yourself. It really does help to restructure our prayers like this and to get back to this basic outline pretty regularly, because how easy is it for us to start thinking about ourselves and let concerns about ourselves crowd all of these other important parts out, especially this part about God's work. That's the part we're going to focus on today. So we know that God must come first in our priorities in life through prayer. We also know that in this prayer outline that God's church has produced, the longest amount of time is spent praying for the work. So we need to understand this subject. It's really important to us. It's really important as we support God's work. This is the one thing that any of us can do. We don't all have a whole lot of money we could contribute. We don't all have active hands-on parts in the work here at headquarters or at the regional offices or as a minister or anything like that. But we all can pray. That is what we can do to make a difference in this work. Now, there's a quote here, 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. And this says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." This is actually talking about a way that we, as a part of God's work, can speed up the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Hasting that day, as we see the world burning around us, we can speed up Christ's return. We just spoke about the 30-plus program. Well, even more important than that is the prayer outline that Christ gave to his disciples. You can find that in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And right here in this outline, again, you start out by addressing God, but the second and third points are crucial. The second part, you pray about thy kingdom come. You ask God, you beg God for that kingdom to come as soon as possible. Why? Because this world is falling apart. And this world needs solutions. Guess what? You can find all of those solutions right here. Right here inside God's work, as God is preparing a new government to take over. So when you're praying, thy kingdom come, when you're crying out about the problems in this world, it's also a way of praying for God's work and that we can all do our part in speeding Christ's return and being ready for our jobs in the future, teaching all mankind how to actually live a way of peace and joy and happiness. Thy kingdom come. It's right there in this prayer outline that Christ gave to his disciples. And the third part he gave, thy will be done. As our lesson 14 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course points out, these second and third parts of the prayer outline are closely linked. So you have thy kingdom come and thy will be done. So here in lesson 14, it says, only God's one true church, the body of Christ, is attached to the head. The head does not have more than one body. This is talking about Christ being the head. And the rest of the church, the rest of the work being the body. Being attached to the head means that God's true church is ruled by his government. So God's will on earth is expressed through his church, which today is led by Gerald Fleury under Christ. So there is a real structure here. a structure to this coming government, this system that will overtake the failed systems of the world? Can you honestly look at any nation right now and say that, oh, they're doing it totally right? Even this grand experiment in a different kind of government here in America is quickly disintegrating. Our division is crippling. And as I've talked about before, as you probably know, that's because the founding fathers depended on private morality to sustain this system. And when that private morality disappears, so does the entire system. It can't function anymore. So this world isn't doing it the right way, and it needs to be replaced with a new world, a new government. So when you're praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, really you're praying a lot about God's work. That's what these parts of Christ's prayer outline are referring to in a lot of different ways. And as lesson 14 here points out, we should be praying for open doors to do the work. About a month ago, we had a church-wide fast here in the Philadelphia Church of God about open doors into Jerusalem, about crying out and saying unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, fulfilling that prophecy in Isaiah 40, verse 9. And God responded immediately to that church-wide fast, to brethren around the world dedicating themselves to a day of prayer and Bible study and fasting about the work in Jerusalem. It once looked like there was a building there available to us, and then God closed that door and opened the door for another building. And I didn't even think it was possible, but the second building is actually better than the first, as good as the first one was. Mr. Fleury has called this second building a broadcasting paradise. So God exceeds our expectations when we just turn to him in prayer. When we get our minds off ourselves and we start to focus primarily on God and the work. Colossians 4 verse 3 talks about praying about these open doors. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Free course can be translated there, spread rapidly. So we can pray that God's work, the message that we have for this world, spreads rapidly. That's pretty exciting to be a part of. Speeding the return of Christ, praying for the work to have open doors and to spread rapidly. What an honor to be able to do this. Lesson 14 says here, we should beseech God in prayer to provide his church with open doors or opportunities to reach the largest audience possible as quickly as possible. And also with the necessary resources to broaden its television coverage and expand the circulation of its printed materials. So when we're supporting the work, we really do want to get this hope-filled message into the hands and the minds of as many people as we can right now. And beyond today, when the suffering comes, they will still be able to find hope in this message. They will see beyond the suffering to a glorious future because of the work we're doing right now. Again, that is really, really exciting. There is no more important endeavor on this earth to be a part of than God's work. And the biggest way we can be a part of it is through our prayers. Lesson 14 shows that we should also pray for the physical head of the church, like I mentioned, Mr. Fleury. Romans 15, verses 30 through 32 state, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." This is the Apostle Paul writing. He's asking us to strive, to work alongside him, to push, and to pray to God on his behalf. Verses 31 and 32 of Romans 15, "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." So he's praying that he's asking the rest of the people to pray that he's protected from persecution and from those who would do him harm, and that the message is well received by God's people and really anyone who will listen. And he's also asking the brethren to pray for him to have joy and to be refreshed. You could imagine that Mr. Fleury's job today is pretty challenging. There's a lot of stress that could easily come along with that, making such major decisions, making sure those decisions are in line with God. And yet, when we all get together, when we all strive together through our prayers, through our encouragement and support, it makes all the difference. Think about what any major worldwide enterprise would be with just the man at the top. What would a great baseball player be without the league he plays in? I guess he could just toss the ball up to himself and hit it in the backyard. What would a CEO be without employees? Well, just a bossy man on the sidewalk, I guess. You have to have support. You have to have this entire work surrounding and helping God's man, or else it's just like shouting in the middle of a massive forest and the message can't be heard. It really isn't a work at all if it's just one man. And God's man is always asking for prayers, and he needs those. It's great that we can even contribute and help out like that. Lesson 14 of our correspondence course also shows that we should pray for the rest of God's true ministers, not just Mr. Fleury, and also that we should pray for God to send more laborers to help in his great work. This work needs all the help it can get. Lesson 14 says, "Pray that God will lay it on the hearts and minds of more listeners and readers to become co-workers in helping to support his growing work." So we're talking about a stir to action here. More and more people jumping on board to help the work in any way they can, and primarily, again, through prayer. That is the biggest way we can help. Now, there is a part in this How to Pray book that really does cover brilliantly how to pray for the work and the importance of it. And I think maybe we could overlook this and read past it. It's only about 2 pages in the entire big book. But how crucial this section is. This is from the How to Pray book, chapter 5. Titled "The Blessings of Intercessory Prayer." And it's under the subhead, "Pray for the Work." So again, it talks about praying for open doors, but then it also gives this example that Mr. Armstrong also gave in Mystery of the Ages from Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had just been released from prison, and they were in prison just for delivering God's message. What did they do as soon as they were released from prison? They went to the brethren. And as Acts 4 verse 24 points out, They all praised God together. They all prayed together and gave thanks. Peter and John needed the backing, support, and encouragement of God's people. Mr. Armstrong writes, "They fervently prayed. Peter and John sorely needed this loyalty, backing, and the prayers of the lay members. They were all a team together." This section of the How to Pray book also shows how much this work is really a group effort. How we are struggling, we are agonizing in company together, especially through our prayers. That means putting in real effort, not getting drowsy or losing concentration or going through the motions. It means really understanding that each of our individual parts through prayer matter, and they all do impact the work. Christ himself even said that we can expect greater works to be done through us today than what we saw during his time. Can you even believe that? This How to Pray book says, "Believe that he will work greater deeds through you than he wrought on earth in person. Expect greater miracles. You can access the power that performs miracles. Our prayers can change lives and save lives. Of course, it is only through God's mighty hand that this work can get done." But really take note of this part here. "But God requires our prayers on the work's behalf before he will step in mightily. God's work is depending on you." Now, in keeping with my infatuation for audio clips lately, I do have another one today. And this is a song about King Solomon dedicating a house for God. This was thousands of years ago, and yet it does parallel to us directly today. This song is just simply titled House of Prayer. And as you listen to this, just think about these parallels and how we can be a spiritual house of prayer today. This is House of Prayer. We'll play this now. We have a vast music archive available to you for free at pcg.church. That's just one of many songs there titled House of Prayer. So I would just admonish all of you to remember your personal part in this house of prayer today in moving God's work forward. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.